Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist from the 15th of December 2018, the cover story, Hello from the Other Side. It's talking about a theory called white holes. I think Einstein pulled them out as a possibility, along with wormholes and stuff like that. And we'll hear what people think about it, given that there's no experimental evidence for white holes that I know of. What really happens at the center of a black hole? Physicist Carlo Rovelli has a possible answer. Oh dear. It's a sad thing when not the journalist, but an actual scientist writes an article. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing that scientists are reaching out, but if they get it wrong, they get a huge risk to their reputation. Never trust the textbooks, even the ones written by great scientists. In his celebrated 1972 term Gravitation and Cosmology, Nobel Prize-winning physicist Steven Weinberg called the existence of black holes very hypothetical, writing that there is no black hole in the gravitational field of any known object in the universe. General Relativity course, Weinberg actually wrote the book, but I think it was just called Gravitation. Okay, he was dead wrong. Radio astronomers had already been detecting signals from matter falling into black holes for decades without realizing. Today we have lots of evidence that the sky is teeming with them. Okay, so there's the evidence of gravitational wobble and of a companion black hole. That's great. There's the gravitational lensings, and then there's the mapping of the gravitational field at the center of our galaxy, showing stars accelerating to near the speed of light as they actually rip past the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy. Okay, they are teeming with, we've got lots of black holes, so any large, I think it's, you only have to be greater than 10 solar masses, 4 solar masses, and you've formed into a neutron star, and various versions of that up to 10 solar masses and beyond, you definitely get a black hole. The story may now be repeating itself with white holes, which are essentially black holes in reverse. In another renowned textbook, the world-leading relativity theorist Bob Wald wrote that there is no reason to believe that any region of the universe corresponds to a white hole. That is still the dominant opinion today, but several research groups around the world, including my group at Marseille, have recently begun to investigate the possibility that quantum mechanics could open a channel for these white holes to form. The sky might be teeming with white holes too. Okay, so if black holes were rejected, so too white holes can be rejected. But, look, I must admit, I'm a bit more sceptical. The reason to suspect white holes exists is that they could solve an open mystery. What goes on at the centre of a black hole? We see great amounts of matter spiralling around black holes and then falling in. All this falling matter across the surface of the black hole, the horizon or point of no return, plumps towards the centre, and then nobody knows. Einstein's theory of general relativity, our current best description of gravity, and it is indeed a description of gravity, not an explanation, predicts that infalling matter ends up concentrating into a single central point of infinite density called a singularity. This is a sort of end to reality, a point where time itself stops and everything vanishes into nothingness. But this prediction is not reliable because the center of a black hole is outside the domain of Einstein's great theory. Here, gravity is so strong that quantum effects can no longer be neglected. To understand what happens, we need to understand the quantum theory of gravity. Quantum theory has a habit of solving problems of this kind. At the beginning of the 20th century, classical physics predicted the energy of an electron orbiting the nucleus would spiral down infinitely. Quantum theory clarified why this does not happen. It's forbidden by the discreteness of energy. Now, well, that's... So, as quantum physicists, that's a load of rot. That's just an insult. So, basically, you've got Schrodinger's wave equation, and the smaller something gets, the larger it's spatial. This person doesn't understand the first thing about quantum physics. So, you don't have an electron, a classical electron, and it's not smaller than the nucleus, and it doesn't spiral down. The electron is actually larger than the nucleus, and it has spiraled down, and it has hit the surface, only that it's a billion times bigger than the nucleus. So it's sort of like this gigantic foam ball squishing an ant, right? It hasn't spiraled down into the ant. It's actually physically bigger than it. So how can I describe it? So the electron, the Schrodinger wave equation has a 1 and m for the curvature. So the second rate of the second derivative of the curvature, that would be the swirliness. So an electron is a much smoother wave function, a billion times greater volume. So the electron has already spiraled down into the center of the nucleus. It's actually through the nucleus, and the nucleus is through it. It's an amazing thing to say. So this is really depressing stuff to read. The energy of the electron can change only by specific amounts, and it has a finite bottom level. Oh, that's appalling. No, the energy of electron in a over infinite time, if something's stable, yes, that's can be so. But if you have short enough periods of time, it can have any energy you would like. So, an electron, say in an electron gun, you know, in your TV, the old TV set, can have any energy you want, simply because you could arrange, if it was infinite energy, you'd eventually be able to resolve points, deflect it different amounts. Oh, that's just complete guff. I can't believe I'm reading this. Quantum effects can similarly prevent infinite density from forming at the center of a black hole. In this case, it's the discreteness of space-time predicted by quantum theories of gravity such as loop quantum gravity, which I work on, which does the trick. In fact, I'm actually interested in loop in topology to explain how particles exist. But this is appalling. There are also infinitely small points where density can become infinite. Space composed of individual unit or quanta, which are small but finite. What? You can't quantize the bosons, the Higgs boson. Falling matter can squeeze into a superdense state called a Planck star, but no more. And then, the matter can do what matter most commonly does, at the end of a fall, a bounce. That is interesting. Let's possibly say that. That's interesting. It can bounce up within a black hole, where things can only move downwards. It cannot bounce up within a black hole where things can only move downwards. But there is a magic. Quantum gravity allows the entire space-time geometry of a black hole to bounce. That is, to continue across the central point of the black hole into a separate new region of space-time where it's not just matter, but it's also the entire space-time is bouncing out. And this is what we call a white hole. My concerns here, just reading this, is that they haven't coped with angular momentum. So the angular momentum is conserved as it falls in, and the black hole itself can speed up and spin up, and they are spinning very fast. I just really wonder how this is coped with here. But continuing, a ball that bounces up follows a trajectory that looks like it moved a movie of its fall projected backwards. A white hole is like a movie of a black hole projected backward. From the outside, it's not much different. It has a mass just like a black hole, so things are attracted to it and it can absorb and orbit around it. But whereas a black hole is surrounded by a horizon through which it's possible to enter and not exit, a white hole is surrounded by a horizon through which it's possible to exit but not enter. Okay, well, I think that I can get. It's just that the complete gap so far. Inside Out. So this is a black hole. Oh, it hurts my head thinking about it. So a black hole, a white hole, has an event, has the same event horizon, but things can only exit from the event horizon, even though it's got the same gravity. The theoretical possibility of white holes is predicted by general relativity. They are an exact solution of the equations of theory, but they have long been viewed as a mathematical niceties, not representing anything real, precisely as were black holes in the past, because it's hard to see how they could originate. As early as the 1930s, however, Irish physicist John Lytton Synge saw what a minimal adjustment in the solution of the equations of general relativity might allow the possibility that the geometry of the interior black hole could continue into a white hole. Quantum mechanics can predict such an adjustment. God, I think this sounds to me like gibbledygook. But let's listen to it. Where would the daughter white hole be located? Would it be far away connected by a wormhole or a different universe? No, we don't need outlandish speculations. Not like we've had before here. he's sensible. He's not mad. It would be found at the same place where the black hole was, only in its future, because of its peculiar elasticity of space-time, as understood by Einstein's theory. Okay, I can sort of accept that one. Quote, the other side of the center, unquote, can simply be in the future of the hole. This is hard to visualize, but the result is simple. In the first part of its life, the hole is black and matter falls in, but during the second, the quantum transition, it is white and matter bounces out. Okay, well, I just have, but surely the gravity is so big. For this to happen, there should be a moment in which the horizon switches from being that of a black hole to being that of a white hole. Here again, it is quantum theory that allows it to happen. Thanks to a well-known phenomenon known as quantum tunneling. This is a brief violation of the standard classical equations of physics that can happen with low probability, even where one would not expect a strong quantum phenomena. So, a lot of quantum tunneling is, again, guff. So, if you consider... So, I've essentially run computer simulations on Schrodinger's wave equation, and when there's quantum tunneling, you do get a very, very small wave function. You can solve it for the internal bound station, and you can get a very, very tiny, small... thing out, and you're allowed to have a variety of solutions, and the variety of solutions can have a phase, and you can actually create a particle outside. So there's it violates classical physics, because classical physics is no good. Okay, this is complete guff. Tunneling is what gives rise, for instance, to nuclear radioactivity. Yes, but it's not a new phenomenon. It's something that quantum mechanics does quite naturally. So if you propagate your wave function through the classically forbidden place, all it just means is that the wave function in that place, that point, is exponentially decaying. But if the wall stops, the decay is not to zero, okay, And so you can have a variety of energies allowed, and that variety of energies allowed can be selected and composed into a particle coming out. And you can select your Fourier components, your phases, which allows that particle to propagate out at the required speed. It's actually quite an easy thing to do. So that's a bit sad. A particle trapped inside an atomic nucleus could not be able to escape according to classical mechanics. Yes, but quantum theory allows it to tunnel below the quantum wall that traps it and thus radiate outside the nucleus. No, you just put the Schrodinger wave equation and in the place where the potential is greater than its energy level, it's an e to the real number rather than e to the I number, complex number, and that's exponential decay. Tunneling takes time. Oh my God, Father. Radioactive substances remain quasi-stable for millennia. Similarly, black holes have long lifetimes. Oh, this is complete and utter. I'm embarrassed to read it. If we were to buy a classical theory, a black hole would be eternal. But nothing is eternal. Okay, thank you. Nothing is eternal. Thanks for that. Stephen Hawking showed that quantum theory implies that the black hole slowly evaporates and shrinks. As they shrink, the probability that they tunnel into a white hole increases. Okay, at some point it happens. Okay, that's just... I'd like to see the proof on that. And again, the important thing is the geometry of space-time itself. This is the thing that is tunneling. Instead of evolving according to the equations of classical general relativity, it suddenly tunnels from a black to a white hole horizon. Okay, thank you very much for that. I don't know where this is coming from. There is a puzzling aspect of this picture. I am puzzled, and I'm sure it's not just one aspect. We see black holes that are millions of years old. Therefore, a very long time is needed for a large black hole to tunnel to a white hole. But matter falling into the hole reaches the center rapidly, in a matter of seconds. It would be equally quick to bounce out again. How can matter find itself existing, exiting a white hole so soon when forming a white hole takes so long? The answer is enchanting. Time is incredibly flexible in general relativity. No. Oh, God. We know it passes more slowly at sea level, closer to the Earth's center, than on mountains. Approaching a massive star or a black hole, it slows down even more. And this solves the puzzle. A very short time inside the hole can match a very long exterior time. That's true. Seen from the outside, the internal evolution of the hole appears like a bounce, but in super slow motion. The hole we see in the sky may simply be the object that collapses and bounces back out, perceived by us as the exterior of an exaggerated slow motion. Okay, I've just got huge, huge problems. Of course, a lot of matter gets converted to light as it goes into black hole. Okay, a bonus of this scenario is that it solves the famous black hole information paradox. Of course, we expect the information never to be completely lost in nature, but it is lost if time comes to an end inside a black hole. The solution is simple. If anything ends up bouncing out, the information is recovered. To be precise, the information paradox is a bit subtler than this. It stems from a widespread belief that the area of the horizon limits the number of possible different configurations of what is ever with the inside of the black hole. If too few configurations are available, the distinguishing features of infalling matter are lost, and so is the information. But I'm convinced that the belief is wrong. Thank you very much. Everyone else is wrong. I'm okay. It confuses the number of configurations distinguishable from the outside, which governs the external behavior of the whole, which is much larger number of internal configurations distinguishable from inside, which increases even when the horizon shrinks. The inside of a black hole can be large even if the horizon is small, like a bottle can be large given the neck is small, and can contain a very large amount of information, later released by a white hole. It's got to be released by something, doesn't it? But, yeah, it's an interesting question. All of these gives an appealing scenario for a full life evolution of black hole, in which the interior of the hole, there is no singularity, no place where space-time ends, and seen from the exterior of a black hole is not eternal. Rather, at some time, the black hole turns into a white, and whatever fell inside, it escapes. The scenario is theoretically beautiful. Does it imply the sky is full of white holes? And if so, can we see them? The answer depends on things and we do not yet fully understand. Of course! It's like Santa saying, well, I think I watched 32nd Street and they said, Santa, make this reindeer deer fly. And he said, of course. Are you mad? They can only fly on Christmas Eve. It's this beautiful thing. Okay. Most black holes we see in the sky are formed by the collapse of a star. They are too young and too big to have already tunneled into white holes. Big holes live longer. But it's possible for smaller black holes formed in the fierce environment of the early universe shortly after the Big Bang. These primordial black holes might have already tunneled into white holes, or may be tunneling today, but we are not sure about their number. And that makes predictions about the current white holes uncertain. A further source of uncertainty is the lifetime of a black hole. Detailed calculations have been attempted using loop quantum gravity, but they depend on approximations which are not yet conclusive. Still, we have a pretty firm bound between maximum long lifetime and limited by the Hawking's evaporation time and minimum short lifetime required by the onset of quantum phenomena. I'm just trying to think. What is it? Is electron positron formation? And the gamma rays produced as it's pulled. I don't know. There's a lot of quantum QED in there, so I don't understand what they're talking about. If this lifetime is long, only small primordial holes have already tunneled, turned white. This could mean most of the white holes currently in the universe should be of minimal size. The minimal white hole size is Planckian. What? Namely around a microgram, or the weight of half an inch of a single strand of human hair. This is an intriguing possibility because white holes this size can be relatively stable, and they could be a component of the mysterious dark matter that astronomers have indirectly detected in the sky. Most of the hypotheses on the nature of dark matter demand modifications of the well-established laws of physics. For instance, they rely on theories predicting new entities called supersymmetric particles, which have been eliminated by CERN. So CERN has switched on. Higgs, yes. And what's coming up next? No, the rest of the theory doesn't work. Okay. So they've just got the standard model. The possibility that dark matter is indeed composed of small black holes does not require anything more than established physics, namely general relativity and quantum theory, and is not ruled out by any observations. If this is correct, we have already observed white holes. They are dark matter. Oh my god, with an exclamation mark. My god. Oh god. Okay, violent signals. Alternatively, if a black hole lifetime is short, primordial black holes tunneling today should have the mass of a small planet and could be exploding violently, transforming their mass into emitted radiation. God. This event should send us extremely energetic cosmic rays and short violent signals in the microwave radio band. Of course. The latter are particularly intriguing because similar signals have already been detected. The mysterious fast radio bursts recently observed by radio telescopes. Okay, well, I think I might agree with that, because anything just as big as a star producing something can't produce something in a spark in such a short time, because it's beyond the speed of light. So the... Like, I don't know, what does it take? It takes several seconds for the light to travel from one end of a star to another. It's just very hard to get these brief bursts. So I think this is something worthwhile. He said something worthwhile there. If we can't confirm these signals are indeed from white holes with just a few detections, other sources are possible. But there, so this is the fast FRB. Fast radio bursts. And when I say fast, people don't mean the actual speed with which the radio bursts are coming to us. It really should be short radio bursts. Signals emitted by distance, and therefore younger white holes, should produce shorter wavelengths than nearby older ones. This is something you might be able to spot in high energy cosmic rays or fast radio bursts once we have enough data. If we do, we have some evidence of white holes existing. So for all this, I think perhaps there is some evidence that, you know, those fast radio bursts are something weird as. Finding evidence for white holes in the sky would be a beautiful step ahead of our understanding of the universe. They could represent the first direct observation of quantum gravity at work. And so open up a window to the greatest problem in fundamental physics, the problem of understanding quantum aspects of space-time. It was a wild speculation, but you could be right, mate. I close by mentioning one last very speculative idea. Oh, okay, not that the other ideas are very speculative. Our universe might not have been born at a Big Bang. It may have bounced out of a previous collapsing phase. This possibility is allowed by loop quantum gravity and other theoretical frameworks. The quantum mechanisms of cosmic bounce is similar to that of white to black hole bounce. The Planckian white holes in today's dark matter could have formed before the bounce. If so, that's really hurting my head. It's hurting my head. Oh dear, that's really upsetting me. Okay. If so, the geometry of space-time at the bounce was not homogeneous as conventional cosmology suggests, but were very crumpled because each white hole is like a long spike in the geometry of space-time. Absolutely. Okay, that's really hurting my head reading that. This fact could be relevant for the mystery of the arrow of time. Oh my God. The question of why time goes only in one direction. The arrow of time might not be caused by the initial state of the universe being special, that is, low entropy, as commonly believed. Instead, it may be perceptible phenomenal, related to the very special location of us observers. We are outside all the holes. White holes are plausible, albeit almost completely unexplored possibility. We are yet to identify one, but then we didn't recognize black holes for a long time either. So there's some elements of truth here, but reading this absolutely hurts my head reading it. Thanks a lot for listening.
Podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.